Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Tea Time the Podcast. And on today's episode, I am joined with the lovely Stephanie Rubio of Sauveur Marketing based in Central Florida. Of course, I'm going to give her the stage to introduce herself because I believe that nobody could introduce yourself better than yourself. But before I let her do that, I just want to let you all know how special Stephanie is. She's near and dear to my heart, and she's one of those people who I have been able to make a genuine connection with in the online space. So hi, Stephanie. Thanks for being here today.
Hi, Cassia. Thank you so much for that intro. You're so sweet.
So before you introduce yourself, what is in your cup? What are we drinking today for tea time?
Okay. So today I'm having my bulletproof coffee. I am, I follow a keto lifestyle. So that is what is in my cup currently. Right. And some water, always water. But yeah, that's what's in my cup today.
Oh, nice. And let me tell you, I love your tip on the Folgers because I was in the grocery yesterday.
Yes.
And I saw it and I was like, how did I never see this before?
Yeah.
Like I kind of like dismiss those mainstream brands when I'm walking through the aisles. And it's like, wait, this is a valid option. This is a valid option.
Right.
So I'm going to check it out.
It's one of those things. And again, we're going to get into it with our today's discussion, really. But it's one of those things where in 2020, I really started to take a good hard look at the things that matter to me as far as expenses. Like there's some brands that you just cannot get away from. This is, you know, like paying for Amazon Prime. That's just what it is, right? But coffee, because we drink so much coffee here at the house, it gets pricey even when you buy the grounds or the beans.
Yes.
So I thought, you know, Folgers Black Silk came through in 2020 because I was drinking a lot of coffee. And it came through. It tastes good. I'm kind of trying to slow down and going into a light roast. Now that I'm heading into my 40s in a couple of years, I want to kind of minimize the coffee intake a little bit. But I think people should try it.
I am definitely going to be trying it on my next grocery run because I was just like in disbelief. How did I not notice that they had a breakfast blend? And breakfast blend and house blend is my go-to for my Starbucks. But since I can't get Starbucks right now, it's not available. I'm definitely going to check that out.
Well, here in the U.S., we're heading into an inflation. That's bottom line. And again, this kind of all ties into our conversation today, which is so awesome. But we're heading into an inflation. That's just what it is. Grocery prices are going up. They've already been going up 3%. So
my dad told me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's all like, it all comes full circle.
Full circle, for sure. You know? Yeah.
Because I'm not trying to work this hard just to spend it all on coffee. That's not the name of the game. Yeah, that's not the name of the game.
All right. So who is Stephanie? And tell us about your background in marketing and the agency.
Yes. So Stephanie Rubio, I was born and raised, born in Panama and raised in Texas. So I do consider myself a Latinx small business owner, been in marketing and sales for years. My family had a short-term rentals company in Kissimmee, Florida.
Right.
And I really got my foot in the door at 16, working with my family. And from there, I decided that, you know, I wanted to continue that trajectory. So I was in property management for many years, went to school. School was, again, for me at this point now, school is very much just the gratification of saying that I'm a college graduate, but you know, in my industry, we know what it is. You put your head down, you work hard, and you can make it. So it's not a requirement, right?
It's not mandatory. Yeah.
Not anymore. Absolutely. So, did that, tried the corporate ladder. Mm-hmm. I am not a corporate ladder climber. it's just not for me. I'm too too much for that scene. And hats to anybody who has a side hustle, who is, you know, working corporate America still. Right. It's, you know, it's beneficial. And I think it has its place for many people. But if it's not for you, it's not for you. And it wasn't for me. From there, I took a year off in 2015 to start building the business plan for the agency.
Right.
Came across some of the women that are now in our circle still, like Kara Chase, a lot of women who I thought, oh, so people are doing this. So people are actually doing this online. Okay. And then I just really put my head down that launched the agency. So Suburf Marketing Group started off as a full service marketing agency. So we were doing everything.
Right.
After 5 years now in, we have streamlined our service offerings. Mm-hmm. We've streamlined who we work with. All the things are streamlined now, which is fine because I needed to know what we liked. And you know, there's still those moments where we want to offer more, but
right.
I quickly pull myself back and say, we just don't do this anymore. So we started off doing
it's
branding.
It's hard, right? It's yes, hard to say no so at times.
Hard. It is so hard. We started off doing branding, a lot of branding, a lot of branding work. And you can appreciate this. Because it's, you know, for a lot of people, it's all about the logo and the it's so, listen, and it has a place, right? It has a place.
With context.
It has a place, but there's so much more. And I quickly started to adapt this thought process where I am now considering myself a sort of like when you go to a dermatologist. Mm-hmm. Right. So first, more often than not, you're going to see your primary care physician. You're going to see someone who is going to tell you that you actually need to see a specialist.
Mm-hmm.
To work with us now, you sort of need that slip. And for me, that slip is a business plan. It's a foundation because we were full service, we were intaking so much confusion.
Right.
And now it prohibited us in many ways. And it was a disservice in many ways too, because you have all these things that a business actually needs, right? It's not just the logo. It's not just the pretty branding and the photos and the beautiful website. There's so much more. And so now clients to apply to work with us must have a business plan, and they have a place. Again, a strategic business plan is not you know, prehistoric. It's not gone away. It still has a place. It is still required,
right?
And it's still needed, you know. So yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So I have to touch on that before we continue, that business plan that you brought up. And we know the listeners are like, oh my God, a business plan.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be some elaborate. I mean, it can be as elaborate as you want it to be. Give me just a second. I'm sorry about that. But it doesn't have to be as elaborate as people think. It doesn't have to be this massive undertaking.
Okay.
I think that's where professionals like yourself come in, where you are really working on foundation.
Right.
Because once someone passes through that step and they're at a certain point, they're going to have to bring in a team.
Exactly.
Whether it's an external team, you know, some people, again, a lot of the stuff, it's taxation purpose and driven. Some people do not want to have the tax implications of hiring a team. They would rather outsource that to an independent contractor. Mm-hmm. So that's where we come in, right? But you can't expect your marketer to really do all of these things. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, you have to come prepared.
Correct, correct. And so I started to really sort of put my head around the thought that I had to let go of certain things. And so now Suburf works on pillars. So we are working with email marketing and clients and their email marketing strategy and social media. But we are even considering in the future, social media may also go away. I'm open to continuing to pivot in whichever way I need to. And that's what it is. Yeah.
I'm the same way. Like, I believe that if you've outgrown something and there's something that better suits your goals and the goals of how you can serve your clients, then don't be afraid to pivot. Like, why are we holding on?
Correct. And just the way that social media is moving with branding and storytelling and the connection that's required between the brand and the consumer. Sometimes having that middle person in there, whether it's one person, a social media manager, a community manager, or an agency, sometimes that creates a disconnect. Right. And so it's almost better to bring in a marketing agency to train your staff. Mm-hmm. Something that we do this for various industries. And then from there, you can take that in because you need that day-to-day, that behind the scenes, the reels, the IGTVs, yes. The live.
And that is something an external team just, I would say they can't do, but it's challenging. It's better.
It is very challenging.
And it makes more sense for your in-house team to do that stuff.
Correct. So here locally, we do we're able to do this locally. I'm able to quickly go where we need to go. But when you have clients across the country, I mean, there's very little that can be done in that sense. Mm-hmm. So that's why I believe that social media is shifting in the way that companies handle that. It's pretty much going to start being internal only. Yeah.
Very good. I love that.
Yeah.
All right. So let's dive deeper into the source of what we're here to talk about today. Yes. And it's like, it's perfect because we just mentioned social media is changing, but you have not been active. Well, not you, but SoVerve hasn't been active on social media throughout the entire pandemic.
Right. But,
and you're here to share with us today, like, how can business owners have a healthy stream of clientele without feeling like they need to be a slave to social media?
Yeah. For us, 2020 was, and I've said this in other interviews that I've done during 2020 was very validating for a lot of us. And I know yourself included, because we were having a lot of conversations about don't put your eggs in one basket, diversify your marketing streams. But for me, it went a step beyond that. In 2019, I started to really look at my numbers. I really wanted to look at my expenses because it adds up. Mm-hmm. Running a business is not whatever income people talk about, the income that they're bringing in, but a lot of people are not talking about the expenses.
Oh, yes.
And when you're hiring top talent, and we are very proud to hire a very diverse group of women here at SoVerve. So a lot of Black entrepreneurs, Caribbean entrepreneurs, we've hired Indigenous women. So we, and obviously Latinx as well. So we have a healthy variety of women that we work with and we pay them well. I want to always make sure that my team is, if I know that a local company is paying $15 an hour, which now a lot of them are starting to, my team has been making way, way, way more than that an hour. I mean, that to me, those are like 2006 numbers. Like those are not, you know, so that I started to look at my expenses. That was the first thing. And that is the first tip that I will say, because again, we never really went through a recession that much. Obviously the pandemic was just so different, but I think going further into 2021 and into 2022, we are going to be looking at an inflation here in the US. Absolutely. So things are going to go up. And so what an entrepreneur makes as their take home pay, it may look a lot different. there's also a lot of talent that isn't going back to work. So that's a great opportunity to snatch up some good talent, right?
And we'll I have been following that conversation as well. Yes,
we'll circle back. So the competition, we'll circle back because the competition is about to be fierce. So many amazing, wonderful, talented people about to leave some big brands and companies to start their own businesses. And it's about to be very fierce and competitive, the market, I believe. So that should be fun. I love competition. I feel like that's just, it keeps everyone on their toes. But just look at your numbers. That was the first thing I did in 2019. So going into 2020, I had literally like slim down my expenses. I really looked at the team members that were gonna stay on and then how I was gonna continue to work with team members and or agency partners, right? So was it more beneficial for me to keep people on a retainer or was it more beneficial for me to say, I'm going to send these clients over to an agency partner? Right. So that almost becomes more beneficial from a recession proof standpoint, because that's what I was thinking. I had obviously nobody had a clue what was happening or what was going to happen. But I thought there's going to be a recession in 2020. That's fact. So I thought, let me just get ready. So that was the first thing. And that was the first tip, is to really look at your cash flow. You got to really build a healthy cash flow.
I think people really do underestimate the power of cash flow. It's not just about getting more clients and or raising prices, but it's how you manage your cash flow. And for me, a big part of cash flow is always making sure you have a healthy stream of money coming in and managing how fast money goes out.
Correct. Correct. And so once the pandemic hit, all of my clients pivoted. Every single one of the 24 full service retainer clients that we had, everybody shifted. And with that, a lot of our team members that were mompreneurs started teaching at home. So I was faced with two team members that were out. One was on maternity leave. One was at home teaching. So I was, you know, that had to be given that necessary space for people to kind of come to grips with what was happening. And then everyone shifting strategy. So things that we had already implemented, things that were already about to roll out, that became such a point for me to shift myself and my own mindset. So one of the things that I did, and this is the second point, is that I started to offer full retainers. So whether it's the 6 month, 9 month, or the 12 month, for clients to pay in advance, the full retainer up front at a discount.
Right.
Because I knew that we were going to get help. Small business owners, I knew the PPP program hadn't really fully launched yet, but I knew that we once the conversation of these stimulus checks became apparent. I knew, okay, so they're going to help. They're also going to help small businesses. They're not going to let small businesses drown here. Especially for me, the huge impact happened with the health and fitness, because gyms, spas, salons, beauty salons, and then also our food industry clients. So caterers, restaurants. I mean, these clients suffered. They had to close. I mean, they had to really pivot and close. And so I knew we were going to get some help. So I thought, if they're going to be getting these PPP loans, depending on how that relationship is with us, they could obviously pay themselves as payroll and then they could pay that out. However they decide to run their numbers, but there was right. help. I knew that there was help to cover costs of doing business. And so I started offering these prepays and it worked, because it definitely created a big cushion, because I want to say 75-80% of the clients took advantage of it at renewal.
Wow.
So it created this huge bubble for me to kind of really sit on top and just kind of relax a little bit and
right.
then just really focus on the clients. And then
and
I just
And that's such a great peace of mind. I don't think people understand how important it is to like pay in full rather than paying in three parts, because it allows your service provider to work better because they are working with this peace of mind rather than, oh, I have to hustle and get to this point or get to this milestone in order to get the next payment so I can keep the lights on in my business. So,
Right. Yeah. No, it definitely worked. And I've had clients who are also in our industry, and they have talked to me about, oh no, I get paid in advance. And I thought, how does that work with a retainer though? Like, how does that work? Because for us, my retainers are very much like you would an attorney. Sometimes you have to call your attorney, sometimes you don't, but you still have to write that check every month. So it depends, right? And so I thought, how would this work? But I went ahead and I did it because I knew that it was going to put a healthy space between me and any kind of friction that I could have because of the way that things were happening with the pandemic. And then that's when it was around May. That's when I started to really feel the burnout of it all. Right. Yeah, that's when I really started to feel the burnout. So I thought, okay, so instead of me being so consumed with all of this content that Sovar is producing, 4 to 5 podcast episodes, the podcast interviews, 4 blogs a month, newsletters to the VIPs, the consultations were rolling in. Because I don't know if you recall, but I was also offering free strategic consultations because of the pandemic.
I remember that.
So again, that was kind of like a strategy, but the influx of leads that I got. So after a while I had to shut it down. And I really thought, okay, let me just take a step back. Mm-hmm. And it's okay. I'm running a small business. I'm really doing this alone. I mean, I have my team, but I'm doing this alone as the CEO. I don't have a COO. Right. Yeah. Or a VP.
Right.
It's literally, I'm the CEO.
This is your baby.
This is my baby. So I thought, you know what? Wait a minute. I own this. I created this. I own this. This is mine. Let me just pause this. Like, no.
I can do that.
I can do that. Right. And I don't know anybody explanations. I'm overwhelmed. My team is overwhelmed because remember, my team members also have businesses of their own. So they have other clients too. And families and children and husbands and all these, like they are doing their own thing too. So I thought, no. Let me just pause all the things and let me focus on the client. And my clients did some miraculous, amazing, fabulous, wonderful things. They were very trusting of some of the stuff that we did together, but they're gutsy. And some of the things that my clients did to survive 2020 was incredible. And I'm so proud of all of them for all of the hard work that they did. We really put in a lot of work. So between the cash flow, just to kind of recap that. So between the cash flow, offering the discounted, and it wasn't a big discount, okay? It moved between 5% to 7%. So it wasn't like an astronomical discount, but it was something. It was something. So I did that. And then that's when I thought, okay, I'm in a good place. I don't really need to be focusing on feeding my pipeline right now. Mm-hmm. Because that's the point of marketing.
Exactly.
Like what's the point of marketing?
And if you're solid for the year, like, okay.
I'm good. I'm good. Let me just take care of these clients. And that's what I did. And then the last step for me was to worry about and really become very focused into what I was then going to do into then 2021.
Okay.
Which for me, that meant streamlining those services and those prices, and then also taking a look at what the referral strategy looked like. And that's something that we also discussed we've discussed at length, is really taking a look at, okay, so now that, you know, the better half of 2020 is over, this is already, we're looking at like October already, September. I started to look into, you know, I take my annual retreat by myself. So it's a retreat party of one. And I really look at my numbers. I look at my numbers going into the new year. And that's when I thought, okay, my referral strategy, I need to really streamline this a little bit better. Because again, I had literally closed the tap on that, on the pipeline. So now that I'm going to reopen it, I need, you know, what is that going to look like? Am I going to be offering free clarity calls to people coming in from the referral program? What is the payout going to be for that, et cetera, et cetera. So I really started to look at my referral program. And I'll say, you know, online entrepreneurs are, I feel like we need to do a field trip on how brick and mortar businesses do it. Because even the other day, I was having a conversation with a local professional here. And so we were doing a business transaction and she said, oh, by the way, for every person that you send to me, they don't have to even sign up. They don't have to buy anything, just the referral. Just make sure that they name you and you will get a $50 gift card. I thought, okay, yeah. And she does great work. So I thought she does great work. I trust her service.
What type of business?
She's in the finance industry.
Okay.
So it's a finance industry. So I thought, yeah, this, like, nobody has to sign up. And I thought, this is such a great strategy. Okay. Mm-hmm. So again, it's one of those things where, like, why do we feel as online entrepreneurs that we can't do that? Why can't we do that? Like, if somebody has a course, I've said this to you yourself, Cassia. I want the referral link to the
right. So this is the answer to the question. I think it's just something that we overlook that doesn't get enough exposure, for lack of a better term. Like, everybody is doing the glitz and glamorous things. And when I say doing the glitz and glamorous, the things that get exposure as the things you should be doing to push the needle forward in your business is Instagram stories. Everything is Instagram. Instagram, reels.
I don't think stories. I've done one reel. I'm right? gonna do reels, y'all, just not yet.
So these are the things that business owners are bombarded with. And I Correct. Think less is more. Keeping it simple can be more impactful. So now you're doing this Instagram course and you're doing this Reels course and you're doing this Reels 30-day challenge, and then you get burnt out and then you get frustrated. And then all you needed to do was just a referral program.
All you needed to do was
get on the roll. But people are talking about that.
Yeah, people, all you need to do is get on the Rolodex. Look at, you know, okay, let's say you don't have a Rolodex. Let's say you don't have a strong community, but you do have leads, people that have found you through Google.
Or past people that clients.
Or past clients. All you send an annual, you know how much money I spend a year on client gifts? My husband, he did the boxes for 2020 in December, and I knew I shouldn't have sent him to the post office. I knew it. But, you know, I needed help because we were doing the most. And I was like, oh, man, this man is going to see this bill and he's going to be like Steph. And he said, Steph, is this how much these boxes at? And I said, yeah. And some people are not clients. Some people are just people that have done a consultation with me. But I know that this is something that I need to
It's continue. A PR package.
It is what it is. Listen, it's just part of doing business.
Exactly.
So the referral program, the mindset would be, oh, but I have to pay this person. Yes, but
you spend money on Facebook ads that give you no return anyway.
And even let's look at our phones and see the amount of hours we spend on Instagram. Multiply that times your hourly rate, which if you're a small business owner, if you're a CEO, if you have a business, you need to have your own hourly rate because you need to be paying yourself, right? Multiply your activity on Instagram times that amount. Oh, who's paying you for that amount of time that you're spending on Instagram? If you're not getting any clients, why? Like, my top referral.
I just love how you said that. If you're not getting any clients.
Like, wait, like, why are you on Instagram again?
Because, like, it's the popular thing to do.
go on Google, Google Analytics, connect it to your website, to your, you know, hopefully you have your booking.
All of the celebrity coaches are telling you Instagram. So you're doing Instagram.
No. Your booking, listen, your booking form should be embedded on your website so you can track who's visiting your site. If Instagram is not in the top five referrers, it would be Facebook, it could be organic, it could be a direct link. If Instagram is in those top three or top five, what are you doing? Hmm. What are you doing? Why are you wasting the time? You need to, and listen, I'm not saying to be as drastic as what I did, which where I said, okay, we're going to take a full step.
Yeah, Leia, we don't want people to think we're anti-social media because that's not what this is about.
That's not what this is about at all. What this is really taking a look at what matters. Because if the reels and the stories and the showing ups and all that is taking precedent over your client work, is taking precedent over, you know, how you're showing up for your business as a small business owner, mm-hmm. then that doesn't make
it
sense.
It doesn't matter. Like for me, I love Instagram. So social media for me is brand building. So mm-hmm. my referrals come through Instagram because someone I earned that know, like, and trust factor with, and they might not need my services, but they know someone else and I get referred that way. So it's part of a bigger strategy. And I understand that. Right. And for me, what I would say is you really do have to take stock because not because we're saying this means don't use Instagram, just understand how you use Instagram. So for me, I am very clear on how I use Instagram. So I don't feel pressed to use Reels. If I have a Reel for you, here you go. You know, right. For me, Reels happen because I'm having fun on TikTok and this just happened to be a business related one. Okay, Instagram, enjoy this Reel today because I made this TikTok and it applies to business. But for me, I honestly think it's a circus. And everyone's pointing and everybody's walking. And I'm like, is this what business has come to?
And changing outfits every 2 minutes. Listen, I don't have time for that. Now listen, again, and then take stock of who your client is. My client
just doesn't fit the brand voice.
So let me explain to you who my client is. My client is someone that they would look at someone doing reels and they would be like, I'm not doing it. They're the type of person that would say, I know I have to do this. I don't understand it. Okay.
Right.
So then they're bringing someone in to either teach an internal member or for us to do it ourselves. But again, they're not looking for real professionals to, you know, because they don't even understand that side of the platform. They're barely even on anything.
Instagram, yeah.
You know, and again, the other day, I had the same conversation with a local company. I said, but you guys don't even have even a claimed page on Facebook. Where is your claimed page? Like, and the answer was, well, we get a lot of our business through our referrals, so we don't really need it. So again, you can claim the page, you can leave it there, you can keep it active, but you really have to understand, okay, where are you putting
your energy?
And part of marketing is not just social media. I think people have made marketing social media. And listen, businesses have been thriving for years and years, and they will continue to thrive for years and years without social media. Social media for us is important because this is what we were raised seeing, and this is our lifestyle, right? But a lot of companies are not just focusing on social. They're doing a lot more than just that. There's a lot more happening behind the scenes than just let me do marketing and then just social media marketing. That's just one hat, really. It's not, it's not everything. Mm-mm. Yeah. Yeah. So that would be my conversation. That would be my point. People need to kind of look at how some of these successful brick and mortars have done it. What are they doing? You know, when you go to a grocery store, I know Walmart Pickup did such a great job this year. Walmart local pickup. When I go to pick up my groceries, depending on what I'm buying. I don't know how they do this. I don't know if they have a team for this, but sometimes they give me these goodie bags full of samples of product, you know? Mm. And again, this is a conversation and you're going to see it because I'm doing it. Okay. Cassie and I are doing this. I've established yes. this already.
Right.
Where if Cassia has something that's going to be launching, let's suppose, and this is just hot tea moment here. Okay. Take notes on these gems that I'm about to drop. If you're dropping something in quarter four, go get yourself a little postcard, print it with, you know, all the information, discount code, we're friends with so-and-so, deliver that to the person. So if Cassia has something
dropping. I love that you just talked about quarter four and we're in June and people are probably like, what? Quarter four? Continue. No. That's so, a gem in itself.
Right. So Cassia delivers these postcards to me. So when I am meeting clients or I am having conversations with people, I can deliver this piece of a postcard in a package.
Right.
It's like when you go to an event, they give you a little PR package. They give you a little goodie bag.
Right.
What happened to these simple old school marketing strategies that still work? People, I like getting, listen, emails nowadays, oh boy, like you have to be on your game to get folks to open these emails, but a snail mail package, a little postcard, a little, a letter. Ooh, it's like, whoa, I got a letter. Cause it's so old school, but it's kind of like, we're kind of like in need of that extra connection.
Yes. Especially after this pandemic.
Okay. Everybody's getting lost on social media. The algorithms, if you're not paying to play, we've said this for thousands of years already, thousands it seems. Okay. We've been saying the words pay to play. Right. So if you're not showing up in the algorithm, they cannot see you. So let's build other strategies. Let's build it out so that we can be successful.
And I think this is why these celebrity coaches online infiltrate so well, because you're hearing for ages, as you said, rightfully so, paying to play. So when somebody comes and tells you, oh, here are my strategies that I use to make this amount of money organically, you don't have to use ads.
No, but they're using ads and they're using, I mean, listen, the ad expense for some of our clients, this is, again, a moment of transparency. We're not touching ads unless we're looking at 3,000, 5,000 a campaign to start. So if you don't think that these big coaches, we're not going to name drop, these big coaches are spending thousands and thousands. And then that doesn't include the team member that they have to hire to maintain these Facebook ads. Mm-hmm. That doesn't include the designer that they're bringing on for photo branding, you know. No.
I'm always observing, right? And I noticed how somebody goes from X amount of followers to this amount of followers, but they sell Instagram as their product, right? Like, join this course, do that course. So then people think, oh, she's doing this organically. How did you grow your account? I was like, no, she didn't grow her account just from those strategies she's selling you. She's showing up on other platforms and bringing them here.
Yeah, there you go. And it's, listen, TikTok is huge. It's big. It does have a place. We do recommend it for many small businesses, but it's kind of like with everything else. If you know it's with a lifestyle change, it's with going to college, it's with starting a business, it's with a relationship. If you're not going to put 100% into it, leave it alone. Mm-hmm. It's better just not to even be on there.
Yeah.
Clubhouse popped up. Everybody was all about Clubhouse for the longest time. Mm-hmm. You don't hear about it as much, but people were so invested in it that I know people that even went out and bought iPhones. Who does that? What? You know? Who does that? Cassia, come on. So you gotta just be smart. You gotta be smart. You gotta be smart, and you gotta do the things that make sense. And really look at the most successful brick and mortar companies in your area. Look at what they're doing locally, right? Not just what, they have an Instagram account. They have a face. No. When you go into this place of business, how are you being greeted?
Oh,
is it clean?
That is brand experience. And okay. When I say brand experience, people don't understand what I'm saying. So continue.
Okay. Is it clean? Because I know people like my mother. My mother will not step foot anywhere unless it's she's such a germaphobe. Is it clean? Is it the smells? Is it the vibe? Mm-hmm. Okay. How, again, let me rewind. How are you being greeted? How are you being treated when you go? Are you being treated like, good morning. Good morning. Right? As opposed to good morning. How are you? How was your day? You know, how are you? That is all part of the package. Because again, it takes more money to market to new customers than it is to retain the ones that you have. So long as you want them. Keep nurturing and giving them that experience. Those are strategies that are way beyond just Instagram. Instagram, just showing up with a pretty template and great caption, awesome hashtag strategy, fantastic. All of that could be just amazing, but that does not mean you're making money. You're not fooling anyone. Okay. You're not, some of us have been there. I have been there. I have been there.
You get caught up in the wrong things.
I have been there myself. There have been moments. Absolutely. There have been moments where, businesses go through cycles.
Yes.
Okay. There's a cycle where you can either lose or just do without a client or two or three or four or five or six. And then the next month, again, because you've been nurturing an email marketing strategy and sequence, and you've been, kind of putting, a lot of effort into your funnel and your referral strategy is on point. The next month you can see that growth back up. It's a cycle. Business is a cycle. And so just don't focus just on the pretty and really start being the CEO of your company. So as a marketer, I kind of took that hat off last year. Again, I took that hat off for myself. And I thought, you know what? I can't be my own marketer this year. What I need to do is be my own CEO. I need to be a CEO. I need to really own.
And that's a mindset shift.
I need to be I need to really conduct myself proper here. Like no more, like we're not, listen, I even went to 4 days. We work a 4 day week now. 2020 was hard. Listen,
I agree.
I don't want to take away from that. Cause I know a lot of clients went through a lot, but I was getting calls on Saturdays and Sundays. I was getting calls at 11 o'clock at night. And I know a lot of it was fear, from a lot of clients. And so I don't really put too much thought into, because it was such an isolated issue. Like, When have we experienced it? I haven't experienced a pandemic before in my lifetime. Like many people didn't. So I don't want to put
too much. And I've actually struggled with that myself, because just like everyone else, I'm figuring it out. And I struggle to be like, how do I show up when I don't even have the answers? I don't have the answers.
Right.
And nobody has the answers. No one has done this before.
Yeah, it was hard. It was very hard. And so But then I had that conversation in January with a coach, and it was more consulting work. With the word coaching, but it was consulting work. And I said to her, now that the pandemic is coming to a close, and we're going to kind of starting to
open up,
retain some of this normality back, whatever that looks like.
Right.
How am I going to tell my clients, or how am I going to maneuver this? Do not call me on the weekends anymore. That was like a shift in and of itself. Cause now it's like, right. Okay, now we need to go back to the way things used to be, cause they can no longer be like this. So again, I went through that, and that's part of me saying,
like, what do I want my new normal to look like?
Yeah. Because in the middle of figuring that out, it was okay for me to say, I can't be showing up here because I have more pressing issues that I need to deal with. Social media will be there. Social media will be there once, you know, it'll be there. It'll be there. And again, some people have this mindset of they feel so responsible for the communities they built on social.
There's a fear that if I don't show up for a week or two or even a month, that there's going to be some painful consequences.
And it is. And I've touched base on this last spring. I talked a lot about how do you come back to a place like Instagram and rebuild your engagement after taking a break? I think I did a couple of,
yes,
of podcast episodes on that. And so there's a lot of content out there on that. And I know myself what that's going to look like. It's going to look like low engagement, and you know, you have to rebuild. And so, but you rebuild, but in the meantime, the business is still running at six figures. I still have my loyalists there. My VIPs are still there. And these are just community members, right? I still have my team, you know, I'm rebuilding certain aspects. So in my case, that's social, but I'm good with that. I'm good with that because the worst would have been to lose clients, being in a place where, what am I going to do now?
Well, in your case, you took an extended leave. But for me, I just mean just simply a week, 2 weeks, a month. And I think that it really doesn't hurt you that much.
It doesn't.
I've tested it and it's not that bad.
Yeah.
I think the longer you're away, it starts to impact you. But I think people need to feel a bit of freedom around being able to step away when they need to and just monitor that, hey, is this going to be longer than a month? And if you think you need more time, but you don't want to be penalized, then make some time to schedule things so that there's still some activity.
Yeah, definitely. If you're someone, for example, someone that now that things are opening back up a little bit more, you have situations where travel is, you know, people are traveling more, kids are out of school. If you feel like, okay, listen, I want to take some time away. I want to hit the beach or for a week or two with my family, definitely schedule things out and go. You know, I have a colleague who has a small agency. She has, I don't know the extent whether these clients are full service or not, or if they're just one-off services or what that looks like for her, but I know she's got upwards of 85 clients. Okay. And I told her the other day, I said, can you take a day off? And I think the other day she finally said, you know, Steph, I scheduled the week off for the first time in 6 years. I thought, well, good for you. I don't know how she's been able to do it. But again, people feel very fearful. They get scared. Listen, I went to a pet appointment with my vet for my two little dogs the other day, and it was lunchtime. It was at noon. I showed up like 5 minutes early. They knew I was there because I could see the girls inside. Nobody came rushing to open the door. They were having lunch. They were eating their salads. And I love my vet. I understood it. I respected it. I respected it.
And
I wasn't going
to
go anywhere.
That's boss moves. I think we should all aim to channel that energy as a CEO of our businesses and then have that actually manifest itself in our day-to-day, because that is something I went through as well with this pandemic. You really stop and you ask yourself, what am I doing? Why did we start a business for in the first place? Not to be a slave to it. We didn't start a business to create another job for ourselves. The point was to create freedom, and freedom is being able to have your time as well as income.
Absolutely. And I think you also have to take stock into the personal aspect of your life.
Of course.
Because, you know, like if you were working a 9-to-5, a corporate job, you still have to come home to something, whatever that looks like for you, whatever that life looks like for you. It's an extension of your current, right? So for mm-hmm. me, I am someone that does have scalp psoriasis. I've talked about this previously. So I do have scalp psoriasis. It's triggered by stress, like most psoriasis is. Mm-hmm. And I also, you know, I'm married, I have my husband, my home to manage. It's a lot, right? And so then I thought, okay, if my mental health is going to take a beating, right? And it is taking a beating, let me just, again, you have to really see, because if I'm going to show up halfway there, I'm not, it's I'm doing mm-hmm. a disservice to my own brand. It's cheapening the brand. And that's not ever what you want. And people can tell when you don't really want to show up and you're just there and you're just like posting. You're not replying to my comments when I'm commenting. You're not really replying to my messages. So why are you here? Like, what is it? Like, you're just showing up. It's a, people can tell. So if you're not going to be engaging, if you're not there to build community, people would understand much more. You know, they'll have a better understanding when you say, listen, my mental health took a toll. My clients pivoted. I needed time. And I gave myself that, and people will be much more understanding than if you just keep posting and you're just like not really there, you know?
And more than just understanding, they're going to connect with you deeper because they'd be like, oh my gosh, I was struggling with the same thing. Oh, now I know it's okay to take some time, you know, go easy on myself, et cetera.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause 2020 was really a year, I think, to also have those conversations. There were a lot of conversations that needed to be had surrounding, you know, Black Lives Matter. We needed to have conversations about race. We needed to have conversations about mental health. And then for small businesses, you know, we needed to have conversations about what was going to happen moving forward. Like, a lot of businesses are still struggling. A lot of brick and mortars are still struggling. Big businesses did very well. You know, big businesses did extremely well. You know, the Amazons and Walmarts of the world, Home Depot did really well. Lowe's, for example, they did very well. So they, because everyone was home, you know, doing home projects. So let's take a note. I think it's important to take a note on how, just take note on how some brick and mortar brands market their businesses outside of social. Let's adapt some of those strategies and let's start being, you know, bosses. Let's start being CEOs. Let's start, you know, making better decisions, better financial decisions too, for our businesses. Cause we're not just brand strategists, marketers, web designers, you know what I mean? Like, that's what we do. But in reality, we are the business
owners. Yes.
Business owners. Yeah. And again, I always struggle with that. Are we entrepreneurs? Are we small business owners? Are we innovators? Are we, you know, some people don't understand those different titles. I don't always like to call myself an entrepreneur. I do consider myself, though, a small business owner. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think the word small has a negative connotation, but the fact is, if you're not making a certain, you know, if you're not past a certain
threshold, it is what it is.
That's just what it is, right?
And there's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong.
Maybe people might feel better if they said they're a boutique business owner.
We're
very like niche and cottage like
right there you go. And then are you a sole proprietor? Do you have a corporation? Do you have an LLC? So these are all these terms, I think, you know, people shy away from like identifying themselves with what it is. But the fact is, if you have a company that provides a service or a product, at the end of the day, you as the leader of that company need to start making better decisions, you know, legal decisions, financial decisions. And I think that makes the difference. Absolutely.
Well said. So to recap, just to make sure that I got this, is that your strategies for not being on social media and still having a healthy flow of clients is that you nurtured your current clients, you gave them the option to prepay, so you basically locked in that income and cash flow. The second thing is referrals, so don't underestimate referrals. Put something in place, have a referral system for people to refer you, people who are not customers, people who are not clients, and then even people who are clients. Give them something, give them a reason to come back, continue to nurture them. And also, you can do referrals with people who are in your industry, colleagues.
Yep.
You partner up.
100%. And then just from the financial standpoint, just look at your numbers. And some people don't like to budget. They don't like to look at numbers. They don't like to look at their expenses. But just become heavily acquainted with your cash flow, heavily acquainted with your numbers. The numbers going in are great. That's how a lot of us can say, oh, I'm a, you know, we have a six-figure business. Yeah, that's what the business makes. But
how much did they keep?
Yeah, but the business also pays a lot of money out. So, you know, that's becoming acquainted with your numbers, I think, is not just a strategy. I think it's just part of
good
just your day-to-day
practices. Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. So that was so good. So that brings us to the hot seat question. Ooh. Right. So you're the first person to be in the hot seat. And I really love this question. And I'm going to be keeping this for other guest podcasts. Mm-hmm. And that question is, you know, obviously everyone knows it's not a secret. My background is that I am a Caribbean person. I am Trinidadian and I serve people all over the world. Right. Mm-hmm. But because I'm Caribbean, of course, people, you know, see me, they know me, and they want to know how can they do the same thing? How can they reach, you know, a wider audience? So the hot seat question is, do you really think Caribbean people can make money outside of the Caribbean, within the region and not just on the island? And if so, what advice would you leave for them or mindset shift?
Okay. The answer is yes.
Okay.
Period. So yes, period. And we see it. I think you're a great example for me.
Right.
And I have many others. You're a great example of that. Okay. So not only can you make money within your, you know, in the island, but then you could also make money outside.
Yes.
The way to do it is network. You really need to network. So that means stepping out of your comfort zone. Okay. Really finding niches outside of your inner circle, and becoming uncomfortable with showing up in those places. So that could look like, if it's virtual, because it has to be, right? Because of the distance, it would be a Facebook group. It would be sliding into the DMs and really building community, friendships within the same industry, friendships within like-minded individuals. I think you and I are a great example of that.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Okay, we're a great example of that.
I'm gonna spill the tea. When I set out on my journey to network, right, everybody was moving around in this very popular local Facebook group, and I'm gonna say it, DBS. People know that they don't see me in there anymore because I was on a mission. And it's not any kind of like shade or anything, but if you have goals, then this is the strategy. You have to go out there. So I ended up somehow in Stephanie's group, and the rest is history. Now she's here on my podcast and we work together, etc., etc. And that's really is it, because your answer is spot on. It's networking. And what I have observed is that we are comfortable where we're comfortable at. We're comfortable talking to the same people and having the same types of conversations. Mm-hmm. And we need to get comfortable with being uncomfortable, being in new spaces and having conversations. And you're good enough.
Yeah, you are good enough.
You are good enough.
Oh, that is so good right there. That in and of itself is so, you are good enough. Absolutely. And there's a lot of talent coming out of Trinidad. I know in my own podcast or even in my own numbers, again, I'm very data driven in my business. I see a lot of viewership and I see a lot of readership, like in our blogs and stuff, of people from Trinidad. So I know there's a community there.
Yes.
I know part of that community is from, you know, people that we've worked with within the community, but there's a lot of talent. There's a lot of talent. And listen, like myself as an agency owner, like I'm always looking for new talent, for clients. I can't do it all.
Tell them.
Okay. I don't want to do it all.
There's money out there. There's to be made.
Yes. There's money to be made. Pitch it. If you're a social media manager, let's just say this. If you're a social media manager and you see an account that's off, don't be scared to slide into, they may have a manager, but that's not your problem. Slide into the DMs, build community, build relationships. Find out who the owners are of these companies. You know, if it's somebody that you want to work with, that you say, okay, this person offers these services and these services kind of coincide with mine. And I can maybe, you know, offer them something a little extra, this and that. Build community, mm-hmm. You would be surprised the relationships I've built with people outside of Orlando, outside of the US by just, you know, saying hello in a DM, replying to a story.
We have to show up. Caribbean people need to show up for themselves, because I observe like this is a growing trend that, oh, get yourself a VA in the Philippines. And that's great. And that's awesome. And mm-hmm. that just has me thinking, I'm not seeing that as a conversation for the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. And I don't blame anybody externally. I think we need to show up for ourselves.
Absolutely.
Because I did it for myself. I'm doing it for myself. And yeah, I have just been making some observations.
Yeah. I'm a strong believer in keeping funds, you know, my payroll as close to home as possible.
Right.
And because, you know, I was born in Panama, I have family in Puerto Rico and friends, you know, Trinidad and, you know, Santo Domingo and all these places. I want to keep funds on this side of the hemisphere. So it's not, I get it. I get why people do it. I mean, listen, Jeff Bezos, you know, I'm sure he outsources to, you know, other countries, but that's great. But I think small business owners really, really need to start looking out for one another too. And, amen. You know, and I think that's part of it. I think, you know, where, how you choose to handle that side of your business when it comes to like payroll and your team really matters. I like to hire talent though. If it's someone that I know is very talented, even my agency, my preferred agency partners, like yourself, I'm not concerned with, like, I don't even think I know your full rates to be quite frank, if we're going to be transparent on this podcast. I don't need to know your, I just know that your work is good and I love your work. And I know how the experience you're going to give our clients.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like referring somebody at your job. You're not going to bring somebody at the job who shows up late, mm-hmm. who isn't dressed to impress, who just shows up like, I'm just here for a paycheck.
Yes.
So again,
I'm glad you touched on that, because I kind of had this conversation starting to help my local people have that mental shift, and mm-hmm. they were like, oh, well, I think, you know, people got this, the Philippines and those people get their start because of Fiverr, and people are going there because they're cheap. And I was like, everything in business is not just about who is the cheapest. We have a lot more to offer. And this is not to like pin the Philippines against the Caribbean, but maybe I will take back the word more, but we have other things that work to our advantage that mm-hmm. we should tap into, and don't think, oh, well, price is what we need to pack it on.
Yeah, I don't think it's price. I think it's experience. I think people will pay for that. And again, you know, if you have listen, I don't want to take away from budgets or financials, because if a business does need to hire, you know, somebody on Fiverr, right? That's, listen, you're a business owner, you make your own financial decisions. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to a long-term retainer on a virtual assistant, a online business manager, I'm just thinking of
relationship.
Yeah. Or just these community managers for social media. Think these type of titles, you need retainers. You need somebody that's going to be on your team and build. I don't necessarily want to hire somebody from Fiverr for that.
Exactly.
You know, a little postcard where you already have a logo, you already have colors, and somebody just needs to put it all in Adobe. That's one thing. But when you're hiring for some of these other positions, I want somebody that
you're going to build a long-term relationship with.
100%, 110%, especially if I'm opening my books to them, especially if they're going to see my client roster. No. This has to be a solid relationship with a professional. And I mean, one of my team members is from Turks and Caicos. I have team members all over the world. I do. Mm-hmm. But I have never dipped into hiring somebody out of the Philippines. And I just don't know. I don't know if it sits well with me. Mm-hmm. Hiring somebody and paying them that little, it just, something about that just doesn't make
it feels like exploitation.
It feels like exploitation. I don't like
but
it.
I just sit back in the Facebook groups and I observe.
Yeah, it just doesn't feel right with me, because then at the same time, for example, as women, okay, mm-hmm. we're gonna get into a little bit of a thing here. As women, right, we're myself as a Latinx small business owner, I am advocating for Black women to be seen, to be heard, and to be paid. How can I then say, I'm gonna post Black Lives Matter, so cute, and then go and hire somebody out of the Philippines when I have people within my community? And that's what I'm saying. Your business could be making six figures. That's awesome. But then part of that advocacy is taking a chunk of what you're making and paying the people that you're advocating for, because it doesn't, one thing doesn't make sense. Me posting Black Lives Matter is just me posting Black Lives Matter. That's fantastic, super-de-duperly. But no. No. Who are you serving? How are you servicing them? Are you hiring them? Are you referring them? Listen.
My coffee is done, because I'm just here like this, because this is all of the tea.
It's a lifestyle.
You definitely hit on some tea there, because the groups that I'm seeing this in, especially, are Black groups and Black people talking about hiring people for next to nothing, like, and uplift your community.
But, and there's a conversation, there about the experience, because you know, the Black women that I've worked with are women of excellence, are women that they believe in excellence, they walk in excellence and in their purpose, and so they're expecting that in return. So that's another conversation too, because I know that that's a fear as well, and something that within the Black community, I think it has to be discussed, is how are we, and that's just feedback that I've received, is how are we servicing our own people? Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's another bit. But but that's nothing, that's some training, like, you know, I know you provide I know you provide your VIP days. That's just some training. That's just investing in yourself, investing in your business, getting your eggs in a row, and then going out there and showing up. That's all it is.
Spot on. And you really hit the nail on the head, because this is why I introduced this hot seat question, because as I look at what's happening with the economy due to COVID, you know, people are really asking me more and more how to do this. And listen, I can't refer you to people if you're shit in together, but mm-hmm. first have the mindset shift, position yourself, and I could help you get your business and your ducks in a row so that you are properly ready to do business internationally.
There you go.
Like you said, it just needs some training, and I'm here to help you.
Yeah. Just be realistic. If you've been in business 1 to 3 years, you're not going to go out there. Again, the investments that you make have to be parallel to where you're at. Everything takes time. Mm-hmm. Don't come out of the gate asking for you know, five figures when you've only been in business for a year and you, you know, come out right. And I know people grow and people are, listen, I know I can speak for myself. I know that my team is paid well, and I know I'm not the only one. And I've talked about this plenty, and I don't care because people need to be paid well. Wow. Life is expensive. Listen, again, we're about to be in an inflation.
I mean, if we're really about empowerment through our businesses, then okay. We should be empowering people through paying them well.
Pay them well. Pay people and pay them well. Pay for their experience. Pay for their knowledge. Pay for their time, their loyalty. Pay. You got to just pay people. Okay. That's it. That's what it is. That's what it is, y'all.
Awesome. So, Stephanie, any closing thoughts? How can people reach out to you? What do you have for them? What is your call to action?
Definitely. Listen, just follow me on social. You can follow us on Instagram. We talked about this. We're revamping a few things. Our Facebook group is coming back. So we're going to be relaunching Awesome. Our Facebook group. So that should be a lot of fun, a lot of a good conversation there. So that is _SOVERVE on Instagram. We're also on Facebook. And then just follow my personal, because if you want more of this type of tea, I definitely dish it out there from a small business owner standpoint. And that's Stephanie V. Rubio. Cassie, you'll just provide them the links.
Yes, I'm going to link all of that in the show notes.
Definitely. And the conversation really coming up in Q3 is all about Q4. So if you're someone that is going to be launching absolutely anything, specifically to my e-com business owners, I want to talk to you. Definitely join the community. If you visit the site, there's a and if you see that you fit one of the industries that we service, definitely sign up for the newsletter. There's going to be just a plethora of goodies we're launching in July. So we're just ready to go. I'm excited.
That's good. All right.